This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Well, good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. Wow, we really started right on time here. We're all just getting settled into the room. So one of the quick things that we do on one of these political forums, and tonight it's the Democratic candidates for county commissioner, is we choose opening and closing order. So I'm going to do that before we get anything else started. Mix up those names. And we've got Charles Mathewson. Please pick the winner. Go, gentlemen.
The winner.
Whoever the first one is, please. And you gentlemen, do not have to wear headphones. You can if you want. You just have to be able to hear me. I just have to be able to hear the air feed. Makes it a little bit easier.
Like the first name is Carlos Da Silva.
Okay, that means he will be starting first. And just to show us that both names are in there.
And the second name is Alex Bezanson.
I believe
here.
I believe you.
Thank you. We thought about putting a third name in there just to confuse things, but we didn't want to do that. So this will be our opening and closing order, and we will reverse that order at the end. And, of course, I'm Christine James, your moderator, and it is a forum for Democratic candidates for county commissioner. This is the primary election. We welcome tonight Carlos Da Silva. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Oh, good to see you. And Alex Bezanson, good to see you, too.
You, too. Thank you.
So I'm asking questions, and along with me, we have Charles Mathewson, reporter for WATD.
Hello.
Hello. And Jonathan Grabowski. He is the executive director of Marshfield Community Media. And
they hello.
Are also, thank you. And they are also providing video coverage tonight. It's a great race, and we've had a lot of interest in this, always interested in the county commission. Remember, if you live in Plymouth County, you're interested in this race. It's the 27 communities, and we appreciate you listening. So what we're going to do is we are going to start, and we are going to begin with opening statements, and it is 2 minutes. And the gentleman right behind you, that's Lenny Rowe. He's timing. And we use the same method with the construction paper. Green means go. Yellow means you have 10 seconds, and red means stop. And if you're still talking on red, I give you the 5-second countdown. If you're still talking, you get the bell. And if you're still talking after that, we cut the mic. We're pretty tough. So let's get started, and let's get started with the opening statement. Let's begin with Carlos Da Silva. Good evening.
Good evening, citizens of Plymouth County. My name is Carlos Da Silva. I'm asking for your support in the upcoming Democratic primary and general election this fall. My family and I have lived on the South Shore for over 30 years. Plymouth County is my home, and I'm seeking your support for the opportunity to make an even better place to live and raise a family. I'm currently a member of the Democratic State Committee and work as a state auditor for the Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development, where I have been working for the last 12 years, and I am the union steward. Previously, I have served twice as an elected member of the Hingham School Committee. I was elected in 2016 and re-elected in 2019. I decided not to run for re-election so I could focus on this race. I have also served on the Quincy Zoning Board of Appeals and the chair of the Quincy and Hingham Democratic Town Committees. My wife and I faced many struggles throughout our lives, and one of them was that we're not able to have kids of our own. So we went to Brazil twice and adopted two beautiful babies. They are both proud products of the public schools and are now in college. I tell you, there is many families out there that have the same struggles. A lot of the times, have the difficulty of actually adopting. I wanted to actually encourage parents that it's a beautiful thing. If you cannot have kids of your own, go and adopt a child. There is many poor children out here looking for parents in a home. And I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner, essentially, to expand on the work that I have been doing in Hingham. While I served on the school committee, I was part of several subcommittees, including contract negotiations and as a liaison to the Climate Action Committee, in which I helped create it 2 years ago.
Okay, that was opening statement, Carlos Da Silva. Let's go to opening statement now for Alex Bezanson.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you to WATD for hosting this forum. My name is Alex Bezanson, and I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner because I have more than 30 years of municipal and county government experience and the ability to do the job on day one. I'm in my second term and currently chairman of the Abington Board of Selectmen. I'm the former vice chairman of the Plymouth County Advisory Board. I have been a water commissioner, and I served 23 years as a conservation commissioner. My wife and I founded the nonprofit HUG Foundation to help people in need, and we also founded the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition to help those affected by addiction. I have always been willing to work across the aisle for the benefit of all, and as your next county commissioner, I will meet with all town managers, administrators, and the mayor of Brockton to see what the needs are of all of Plymouth County's communities and how the county can help. As your next county commissioner, I will work to help alleviate some of the water problems plaguing our small towns. And as your next county commissioner, I will work to expand the county procurement program to help save the town's money. I will look into countywide services that benefit all of Plymouth County, and I will never, ever support a horse track or a casino in Plymouth. I have been endorsed by Congressman Stephen Lynch, Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan, State Senator John Keenan, Whitman Selectman Randy LaMattina, Rockland Selectman Michael Laughlin, Marshfield Selectman Steve Darcy, Plymouth Selectman Charlie Bletzer, Plymouth County Registrar of Probate Matt McDonough, State Representative Josh Cutler, former State Representative and Hanover Selectwoman Rhonda Nyman, and I've been endorsed by the following unions: the Boston Commons Union 589, Ironworkers Local 7, IBEW 103, and the Professional Firefighters of Massachusetts. For more information, please visit my website at alexbezanson.org.
Thank you. That was Alex Bezanson in his opening statement. Now, when we started tonight, I missed the part where I actually tell you how we ask the questions here, and that is the format that we use every time. We ask candidates, of course, to have their prepared opening and closing statements. You just heard the opening statements. Then we'll ask questions with the answers no longer than a minute. And we stick to a strict time on that. It's the same thing. We time you, and then if you keep going, the bell, and then cut the mic. We also have the lightning round. Those of you who listen know what I'm talking about. Lightning round questions are either yes or no answer, and it's yes or no because nobody can do that without an explanation, and one or two sentences tops. And the reporter will tell you what kind of an answer they're looking for. Then we will get to closing statements, which are 1 minute long. So again, Lenny keeps a tight ship over there when it comes to asking questions. So we always ask our invited media to begin. Jonathan Grabowski, the executive director of Marshfield Community Media, your questions for the candidates.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is a question to both of you. So, plain and simple, why run for this seat?
Okay, let's start with Alex Bezanson.
Why run for this seat? Well, I have a 30-year career in public service, and just for all the listeners out there, every position I've ever held is non-paying, including the Board of Selectmen in Abington. And I just think that, you know, it's in my blood for community service, and I think since I've been a selectman in my second term, and I was on the advisory board, I see some problems at the county level that I want to address, and I've always been a proactive selectman and got things done, and I just see this commission that just goes in there, and I read their minutes, and they okay vouchers and move along to the next meeting. I'd like to actually be a proactive commissioner and actually get something done.
Okay, same question, Carlos De Silva.
Thank you for the question. I essentially served as a representative of on the Climate Action Planning Committee, and then I was actually, because I didn't run for re-election, was appointed by the moderator to continue on the Climate Action Committee representing the town of Hingham. I am running for Plymouth County Commission, as I had stated earlier, to expand on the work that I have been doing for many, many years. I am a proud public servant. I'm a state auditor with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, where I serve as a union steward with a background in labor management and relations, have served as a business agent with SEIU Local 254, served as a chief contract negotiator in contracts at Tufts University, Suffolk, T-Ponell Federal Building, and many contracts, and now with my experience handling contract negotiations in the public sector, I am the qualified candidate. County commissions deal with three unions negotiating contracts and overseeing buildings. I have the experience and I can do the job. Go to my website, carlosdasilva.org.
Okay. All right, now let's go to Charles Mathewson. Question for the candidates.
To state what I hope we all know, the county owns 100 acres in Plymouth. It's pretty much landlocked. The county has signed a lease for a group that wants to put a racetrack in there. The town of Plymouth has been pretty stringent that they do not want a racetrack in there. Please tell me, why should the county continue to fight Plymouth over the racetrack and the use of the woodlot?
Let's start with Carlos this time.
Charlie, thank you for the question. As you know, and citizens out here know, I have been steadfast in my opposition to a plan by the Boston South Real Estate Group and the current county commissioners in building the horse race track casino in Plymouth. Essentially, is the way that they came about in doing what they did, you know, without getting the buy-in from the citizens. And because of that, I think that is why there is that hostile environment that they have created on their own. They should continue fighting and pursuing whatever means that they can, because obviously they don't have the infrastructure to handle, you know, the traffic. There is a potential harm to the environment, and even, you know, dealing with the aquifer that's there that provides water to cover and Plymouth. So, you know, you, before you do anything, like we do in the school committees, you have to listen to the citizens. I will call on the commissioners to afford citizens a 15 minutes so they can speak up.
Same question for Alex Bazanson. I just want to mention, gentlemen, one of the rules for the forums is no electronic devices in here. So I notice you both have your phones. You either have to turn them off or flip them over.
That's what I have to read.
Okay. But that's the rule.
Okay.
And that's what we said. No electronic devices at all. Okay, so
the question was, why should the county commissioners continue fighting for that?
Yes.
They should not. And
the argument that they're using is they're fighting for the other 26 communities.
I understand that. First of all, let me just say that I've been against this since I first heard about it, and I've said that I first heard about it from WATD, and I was on the advisory board. On April 24th, we got an email from Frank Basler apologizing that we heard about it elsewhere before we heard it from the commissioners. I believe there's been some open meeting violations. I believe there's some violations of Mass General Law, which governs Plymouth County. Plymouth County doesn't have a charter, so it's governed by MGL 34, 35, and 36, I believe. And if you read those, I believe there's some violations there. If I'm a county commissioner, I'm going to propose that the attorney general or inspector general look into it and hopefully void the contract.
Any follow-up questions? Let me just stick with that issue with the woodlot and what may happen and what may not happen. The county commissioner signed an agreement with the other group of the South, was it South?
Boston South.
Right. So it's really the lessee that has control of that property for, what is it, 3 years?
For 3 years, so, with an option of a 70-year.
Okay, so my question is, if the lessee has complete control of that property, whether you like it or not, and what you say, it's really not going to matter. So what can you do?
It does matter, because before a racetrack can go in there, it has to be approved by the town of Plymouth and the Plymouth Board of Selectmen per Mass General Law. My honest opinion is there will never be a racetrack there. I think that was thrown out there and got the Plymouth people all riled up, and then he's going to come back and say, okay, we won't do the racetrack, but we'll do this, this, and this, which is less invasive. And I think that's his plan. I don't know why anybody would want to do a racetrack in this day and age, but I can see them wanting to do a casino or the new sports betting and things like that. And I'm not in favor of a casino either. According to Mass General Law, they were supposed to offer it to the Commonwealth and offer it to the town of Plymouth prior to signing a lease. I don't believe they did either.
Okay. We had heard that it was the state that would make the final decision whether horse racing went in there. You say that that's not correct.
According to one of the selectmen in Plymouth, there's Mass General Law that the selectmen have to vote on it.
Okay. Same question, Carlos. So the lessee controls the property. It's up to them to fight it out whether they're going to do it or not. Do you think that why even bother? Or do you agree with what Alex said?
Well essentially, you know, I will repeat. The way the commissions went about, you know, awarding the RFP to one vendor, to begin with, they're not very transparent. If one vendor is the only sole bidder on the contract, they should have canceled and put it out there again until they could have gotten at least three bidders. So now there is a lease signed with a vendor that, as a matter of fact, has been inviting riders on ATV to ride on the lot, which is continue being a lack of transparency. I think there is a lot that can be done. I do believe that the Inspector General ought to come in. I believe that, as I have been saying, accountability and transparency has to take place, and now that has to be done to reveal all the actions they have done. That should not continue. Whatever meanings we can do to stop this from going forward needs to happen.
I want to ask you both a quick follow-up question. Do you think that this is a situation like when you see those things on TV, you can order some gadget and the shipping and handling is $9.95 and they don't care whether or not you keep the project, they're making money on the shipping and handling? Do you think that this agreement was signed to keep a revenue stream coming into Plymouth County for 3 years and who cares what happens? Alex?
That could be part of it. I don't think so, though. But from a county standpoint, he can only do his due diligence in the first 3 years. He can't build anything out there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the county's getting $450,000, and hopefully he's going to lose his $450,000 and the county gets to keep it. But I don't know.
Okay. What do you think? Do you think that that's shipping and handling?
Based on everything that we read, the way they went about, there was a way for them to get some money. The truth of the matter is what 27 municipalities will do with $450,000 raised on the cost of 3 years. That's not enough money. Even so, with the proposed casino development or whatever they're going to do there, as it stands, the proposal is that the 27 municipalities will get 3% of whatever revenue raised on that property. How much is that? $200,000 a year. What is that worth it for a town? We need to find a better use for the land, and perhaps just entertaining the idea and getting people angry and fired up about the possibility of building a horse racing track there. It's a no-no. We need to come up with a better alternative. It is a shame the way they went about conducting this business.
You're listening to a political forum here in WATD. It's a primary race. It's for county commissioner. We've got the two Democrats in studio here, Carlos Da Silva and Alex Bezanson. Next question. Let's go back now to Jonathan Grabowski, executive director of Marshfield Community Media.
So I was at a party over the weekend, and I was telling people I was participating in this forum, and most of the people had no clue what a Plymouth County commissioner was. So if elected, how would you reach out to residents of the county and educate them on county government and the role of the commissioners?
Let's start with Carlos.
Jonathan, I had the privilege of actually being interviewed by you in 2020 when I was running. I wanted to say to the voters out there that because of myself getting involved in being out there, I educated many, many people on the roles of the county commissioners. As a result of it, we got 31,000 votes. We won the town of Hingham, Howe, Noel, and the city of Brockton. I hope to do better this time. The commission essentially oversees the parking processing fees for some of the municipalities that are part of it. They oversee the Mayflower health insurance benefits for the municipalities that still participates. They oversee the pension fund, again, for those retirees that worked for the towns. They also oversee three buildings that host the courthouses in Hingham, Wareham, and the Brockton Superior Court. They oversee the heritage of deeds, both in Plymouth and in Brockton. They oversee approximately 83 employees, deal with three unions, oversee a budget of $11 million.
Okay. Same question, Alex Bezanson.
So when people ask me what a county commissioner does, I try to explain it to them. A county commissioner is like the selectman in your town. They basically do the same thing as your selectmen do, but for the entire 27 communities. Like Carlos says, there is the courthouses and properties that they own, and the registry of deeds and the parking, and they assist towns with these things like collecting the fees for the parking, so each town doesn't have to do that. They have the registry of deeds, obviously, but they basically oversee everything just as if you're a selectman would in your town.
Okay, any follow-up questions?
So you explained what a county commissioner is. How would you make sure more people know what a county commissioner is, you know, out in regards to outreach?
Well, like I said, I plan on meeting with every town administrator and town manager and the mayor of Brockton, and ideally I would be able to meet at a selectman's meeting or the Brockton City Council meeting and introduce myself and explain what the county does. A lot of people don't know what the county does, and every town pays into a fee into the county, and people don't even know that. So that's how I would do direct outreach at each town level.
Carlos, any direct outreach?
I am not waiting to be elected to educate voters about what the county commission does. Let me tell you, I have been having community meetings throughout Plymouth County. I had meetings in Marshfield. I had meetings in West Bridgewater in Plymouth. And throughout Plymouth County, meeting greets in people's homes. This morning, I was at Linden Ponds in Hingham speaking with 100 individuals about the role of county government and other issues. So I'm not waiting to be elected. I'm very proud to say that speaking with Commissioner Venezuela, he liked my plans because I have a plan. I'm not just thinking about going there for the sake of going there and keep the seat warm and for warm for anyone. I am a public servant. I have a title. I have a pension. My salary is paying the bills. I am running to actually do the work. I wanted to create a climate action task force committee to work with the towns. I want to create an internship program, and I want to also make sure that the meetings are televised just like it's being televised here right now, so everyone knows what's going on over there. The minutes does not reflect what takes place in the meeting.
Okay. Charles Mathewson.
Okay, I'm going to switch questions because my friend Jonathan here started us down this road. The county government in Plymouth County is unique in the county for its opaqueness. Should meetings be televised, streamed, and recorded?
Taylor.
Alex.
Yes, and that's part of the problem. That's one of the things I'm going to change in there. If you go to their first of all, you have to keep checking their website to find out when they're meeting. They might meet on a Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. They might meet on a Thursday at 5 o'clock. They might meet on a Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing consistent about it. Every selectman, Board of Health, Zoning Board, Planning Board, School Committee all meet a certain night every month or two nights every month. The people know when they're meeting, so if they have an issue, they can go to the meeting. That's how Plymouth County needs to be run. And they need to televise them and broadcast it throughout the community, the entire 27 communities. There is too much being done behind closed doors, and just they need to be consistent in the times when they meet so people know when they're going to meet.
And recorded?
Absolutely recorded. Absolutely.
Carlos?
As I alluded to in my last question, I've been calling on the commissioners to actually increase transparency and engagement. The commissioners must establish and publicize a yearly calendar like we do in the school committees, where the citizens know of our meetings are taking place, so citizens are aware, and they can try to attend. And as I have stated several times, all sessions should be video recorded and live streamed via the internet. This meeting recording should be made available online and for cable broadcasting throughout the other 27 municipalities. Again, the minutes does not reflect exactly what took place in the meeting. And often, there is an amendment done on the following meeting, and if anything changed, citizens will not know. But having the videotaped, they can watch at their own time and follow exactly what's taking place. And by the way, once it's recorded, they cannot take it away or make an amendment. It's there for good.
I'd like to ask about compensation because I know this has been an issue over the years. County commissioners, what is it? Is it $28,000 a year roughly that they make?
I think so, yeah.
And I believe there's also benefits with that job. Now, the last time you ran, Carlos said you were not interested in taking the salary. You thought it should not be paid. Do you still agree with that?
Christine, here's the thing I've been thinking about often and often. The commissioners have several issues. The commissioners has issues with, paying employees, for an incentive and then taking that away from them a few months later. They have an issue with giving the Register of Deeds his due, deserved salary increase. Those are the things that I would like to address it. Obviously, there is a cost to travel around Plymouth County, and I'm analyzing as more and more as I am campaigning right now, taking vacation time to be out there and, you know, spend a lot of money. That is something that we have to really look into it because, you know, obviously, I don't want, to be a burden on my family, So if, the whatever it is paid helps, pay for the cost of, visiting the citizens, I need to consider that. I am a volunteer all my life in every organization I have served, so I had intended not to take a salary, but I'm a public servant.
Okay. And what about you, Alex Bazanza? Do you think that they should be paid a stipend, the $28,000, or no?
Yes, I do believe they should be paid a stipend. I believe all selectmen should also, and most towns don't. There is quite a bit of cost involved being a selectman or being a county commissioner. So I think they should be paid. When I was on the advisory board several years ago, I spoke about increasing their pay. I think it had dropped to $7,500, $7,800 a few years ago, then went up to $15,000. I spoke in favor of raising it to $15,000 at that time. Personally, I think $28,000 is a little excessive for the amount of time they meet, but I think they should be getting something, yes.
Okay. Let's go back now to Jonathan Grabowski. Questions for the candidates.
This is my Christine James question.
Uh-oh.
So counties have gotten rid of county government in the state. So state your case why Plymouth County government, should continue that.
Let's start with Carlos this time.
So on Monday I had the honor of touring the Register of Deeds and learning firsthand about the operations and about the record keeping, and I was, very surprised and amazed how the history that they hold. Plymouth County happens to be one of the oldest, and the history is there. The infrastructure is there. Can be enhanced. That is why you elected a new individual with the creative ideas, someone that is not doing for the money, for the pension, or for the title, and give the individual a chance. Give me a chance, voters of Plymouth County, and we will not let you down. We will together enhance the service of Plymouth County, and I'm going to make sure that you value county government. It is well established. And they did do a good job distributing the money, the CARES Act. Now they have the ARPA, and let's work together.
Okay, same question, Alex.
Why do we need county government?
Yeah.
I think COVID actually taught us that we do need more regionalization of a lot of services, and I think the county is a way to do that. I think the county can help with some of these small towns with the water issues. Is it possible to do a desalination plant off of Mattapoisett or Scituate or someone like that? Brockton has one. I just think there's a lot of small towns can't provide all the services that they need, but maybe the county can help work as a broker, per se, to help Abington and Whitman and Rockland work together on certain things. And that's what I'd like to see, more regionalization of services and things like that.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
Alex, you're a former water commissioner for Abington, Rockland. And as an Abington selectman, you increased the amount of water to the town. As a county commissioner, you would represent the Silver Lake towns from where the water comes. So Brockton, Abington, Rockland, Whitman need water, but so do Kingston, Pembroke, Halifax, Hanson, and Plimpton. How would you help resolve that long battle?
Abington did not increase any water. We increased our sewer capacity a few years ago, but we have a serious water problem. We have not increased it, and we do need to. We did get a grant with Rockland several months ago, to increase, do it more wells in Abington or Rockland to increase the capacity there. But just like I just said, can we look into a feasibility of a desalination plant, or can we work with the city of Brockton and and bring water to some of these small towns. Brockton has a lot of water, you know, with the plant, and, you know, maybe that's the answer going forward.
Yeah, Abington has a outdoor watering restriction.
Right, right.
Brockton doesn't.
That's right. Brockton doesn't have PFAS, and all these small towns do.
Yeah. Carlos, same question.
So what I would do, I would entertain the idea of getting county government involved in perhaps using ARPA fund to purchase the water company, the Aquarius, and actually provide water to the towns. And that would be a win-win for everyone. The federal government is making money available for water infrastructure and so on and so forth. My understanding, too, is what Brockton has with Aquaria in terms of a contract as a secondary source of a water at the town of North in Dighton. Guess what? The contract has never been used right now because the water level at the Silver Lake is so low that they looking to tap into that secondary resource. They cannot do it because there is pipes issues, and it is a shame. Should Brockton be asking for a refund? They should. But I would most definitely looking into a way that Plymouth County could actually purchase their water company.
As a follow-up, how familiar are each of you with the workings of the Central Plymouth County Water District Commission?
I'm not that familiar with it, to tell you the truth. I'm aware of it, and I read some of their minutes from their last meeting, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it.
Likewise.
Okay, you know, the county pays for all of the administrative costs.
Yes.
Of the commission.
And that's what I'm just finding out. I'm just looking into that now, yes.
Okay.
I've been here for, it'll be 32 years in October, and been covering the county commissioners, you know, had a few fights with them along the way, as you guys probably know. I've always been asking, what exactly does the county commission do? And every election cycle, it's always, there's a great future ahead for the county commissioners. And except for the Hail Mary pass, which seemed to be the ARPA funding, I'm having trouble coming up with anything else concrete that I think that they've done. Might be a little harsh here, but I'd like you to tell me something else that you think equally as important that the county commissioners have done in the past, I'd say 30 years. And then two, this would be your second part of your question, if you remember for anything, if you get elected to this board, what is that going to be for you? Let's start with Carlos.
Let me start with what's going to be for me.
Okay.
Because obviously I said I'm running to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
I have proposed the transparency through videotaping and disseminating that recording. I have also proposed to start an internship program, internship program where we would work in partnership with the local universities, the local chamber of commerce, because they already have the relationship with the businesses. The students would come in and intern with those businesses. Part of the internship that would be supervised by the teachers at those universities is to write grants. Money raised through grants, which is there is plenty of free money out there, we would provide more service to the veterans, to the youth, to the homeless, and to the seniors. It is doable, so doable that Commissioner Venezuela already told him that he loved the idea, and he began the process of talking to former Senator Vinny de Macedo at Bridgewater State. And it's great to see that a current commission is actually investing on that idea.
Okay, so that's part one. Part two, can you name something besides the distribution of the ARPA funds that the county commission has done that you think is an important achievement in the past couple of decades?
I, pretty much overseeing the retirement fund and providing the health insurance to the Mayflower has been a positive thing. The, like I said, working in partnership with the Register of Deeds to make sure that the records of Plymouth County is well kept, it's a great thing. So that is a partnership. So what they have done that worked well, I would love to keep. But I'll tell you one thing that they did not do. I know it's not part of your question, but they used to call a dredging program, and right here on the radio, I called on them because obviously the Inspector General sent them a letter of reprimand for them misusing taxpayers' money and keeping that excavator in the parking lot of the Kingston DPW. I called on them to change that. And guess what? If you go to their website right now, it's no longer called Dredgen. It's called an excavator. I would love to get the program up and running. Hingham applied for a grant, got $1.5 million. The harbor masters out here can get some money for the harbor.
Okay. Alex, same two-part question about what they've done and what you would do.
I think the best thing they've done is the Mayflower Health. And in 2018, I think it was late 2017, Abington Selectmen voted 4-1 to pull out of ARPA. Mayflower, and I was the one vote that wanted to stay in there. And obviously, it's cost us a lot more money since then. So that's a very good program. But as when I became selectman, I started the Substance Abuse Coalition. We got a dog park built. We became a green community. We went for grants and became a green community and ended up getting more grants. Right now, I'm on the ARPA committee, and we're fixing up our parks and playgrounds and things. So I want to be the same proactive type of commissioner, but I would really like to work on the water situation in Plymouth County, and I'd like to be known as this commissioner that helped with that.
Okay. I gave Carlos 2 minutes for that, 1 minute for the past and one for the future. So you've got a minute left there if you want to divide that up again.
Well, I just rushed it all in that 1 minute. So
that's pretty impressive.
We can move on.
Okay. Jonathan Grabowski.
All right, so these are items from your websites and Facebook pages. So, Alex, on your website, you talk about how a regional approach can result in better service and lower cost to everyone. What's an item in Plymouth County where a regional approach can create those two outcomes?
Well, I think one thing could possibly be transfer station. Abington, in different regions, you know. I mean, I'm not going to drive to Mattapoisett to use that transfer station, but you know, maybe a few different transfer stations. Trash is going to be a huge problem in Abington, as it is in a lot of towns. So maybe, you know, a regional transfer station is going to help alleviate some of that. DPW work, sanding, snow removal. I mean, we have, you know, basically regional fire. You know, if Abington needs help, Rockland's going to come and help us, or Holbrook's going to come and help us. But we could do that with so many other things. And we do some of that with police departments now, too. But we could do that with DPW. We could do that with the Parks Department. And we could do that with trash, hopefully.
Same question.
And Carlos, I should do a little different. So on your Facebook page, you talk about the need for accountability. Tell me where in county government there's a need for that.
I mean, we all know, as a state auditor, you know, that's what I'm out there doing, auditing employers' books. I would love for the commissioners to be audited twice a year, periodically and internally, and making those audits available online to have more transparency. That's something that, you know, you need to be accountable, right? The recording of the meetings and making those available so people don't have a mistrust. Right now, obviously, when you talk about, you know, and some individuals believe that county government should not exist anymore, that is because there is a mistrust. I hope that through auditing its books and making those available for the public to see it and be more transparent, will make people believe more in county government.
Charles Mathewson.
The lease on most of the county farm to the sheriff is in its final year. Would you alter it? Do you envision expanded uses of the farm? Carlos.
In 2019, when I was running, I was the only candidate that went and sided with the community, making sure that whatever was happening there, whether it was a threat to evict the sheriff from the farm, didn't happen. It is a program that works. Our children go and enjoy time with the animals. You know, they sell some beautiful flowers there too. It should continue. Most definitely should continue. You know, some of the inmates go and perform some services there. You know, what's not broken, don't fix it.
Alex, would you make changes with the to the lease?
I'm not familiar. I know they have a lease. I haven't read the lease, so I don't know if I'd make changes. I do believe that the it should be a lease, and I think the county should be paid for that from the sheriff's department, just like all the other properties in Plymouth County that are owned by the county. But I do think that we should keep it. I know it's been scaled way back over the last couple of years, but I do think it's a good piece of property, and it has some good uses, and we should keep it.
Okay, I remember when there was a herd of cows out there, and it really was a working farm. It's piecemeal now.
It is not now, and I don't believe the inmates are working it anymore. I believe it's the Sheriff Department employees.
So how would you expand its use?
I would like to see it go back to cows and all kinds of animals and the inmates working it again. But again, I haven't read the lease. I know there is a lease with the Sheriff's Department on that, but I would like to see it expanded back to what it was years ago.
Carlos, how would you expand the use of the farm?
I mean, you know, the 4-H program, it's an essential program that, you know, it really brings kids together. I mean, you know, bring the animals back. I remember seeing, you know, all the, you know, animals there, and, it, you know, they did something to it because it looks very nice right now. Now that you're bringing it up, that there is no cows there, I never realized that, you know. But
I think there's a small herd of about 10.
Yeah, no, actually, now that you brought up, I didn't see them. So I would essentially try to bring it back if that's what it is the wishes of the community. I'm all about listening to the community. If that's what they would like to see it, and the sheriff is in favor of continuing that program, because we got to also find out if he's even interested, right? He was. I don't know if he's still interested in maintaining the lease himself. But I would be in favor of doing whatever it takes to make it successful.
Thank you.
Now, with all the communities in Plymouth County, a number of years ago, I think it was back when Tim McMullen was still on the board, the county commissioners actually went out and had meetings in a number of the communities, and I think that was a great idea. But is that something that you would do as county commissioner, maybe try to hit all 27 communities and hold a meeting there?
Yes, I think.
You think it's doable?
I definitely think it's doable, and that is right in line with me wanting to meet with all the towns and the town administrators and the selectmen. So, yes, we could do that. When I was chairman of Plymouth County Democratic League, I tried to go to all the town committees and hold our monthly meetings where we could, and then COVID hit and that stopped. But I'm definitely in favor of something like that.
Let me ask you a follow-up question. During this time when you've been campaigning, have you visited every one of the 27 communities in Plymouth County campaigning?
I would say yes. I had nomination papers from all but two, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Rochester and Marion, I did not have signatures there, but we visited them since. But other than that, I had signatures from every other community.
Okay. I have a confession to make. I've never been to Rochester, and I've lived in this area for many, many years. I hope to get there sometime.
Well, Marion is a great town,
that
too.
That's beautiful,
it's
too.
A real nice town.
Carlos, yes, but Mattapoisett is nicer.
Okay.
Do you remember the battle between Marion and Mattapoisett?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
You're much older than me, Charles.
Oh.
This is all recorded, folks. Carlos, same question. What do you think?
Go to
those. Have you been to every single one of the communities?
So the first, yes, most definitely hold the meetings throughout Plymouth County. Mm-hmm. You know, try to get to know the communities. Try to get the communities to feel they are being included. That's not just the towns where some of us come from. And I involved. I did indeed, not only this time around, but the last time, visited every single 27 municipalities, created beautiful relationships out there. As many may know, we are running a grassroots campaign. We have volunteers throughout Plymouth County, and you know, I have Republican, you know, friends coming to me, go like, is there two of you? You know, it seems that you are, you know, you amplified. Do you have a twin? No, we are everywhere. My truck is parked right now. It was over the weekend in Marshfield while I was campaigning in Mattapoisett. And that's how I have been doing. So, you know, I really believe that if you are running, you have to be familiar with the communities. And we have done that. We actually had an event out in Marion. And I have been endorsed by the Mattapoisett, Hingham, and Howe Democratic Town Committees.
Now let's go back to Jonathan Grabowski.
Sure. So both of you on your websites and Facebook pages have talked about the issues facing our communities. So give me one and how you'd work to solve it.
Let's start with Carlos.
social-emotional issues. As a member, former member of the school committee, we heard firsthand the many complications family are living, and some young adults. So, you know, it has been very, very difficult. There is a lot of talks, but not a lot of actions. We need to actually make sure that we treat young adults with social emotional issues in two different ways. One group of individuals deal with substances. You cannot mix substance abusers with social emotional young adult, young man or woman. They need to have their own setting. And the problem is when you send young adult to the facilities, they may have nothing to do on the weekends. So that is a major problem. What I would do to resolve that, you go to the city of Brockton, you see many abandoned buildings. Take those buildings. County government should actually take on those buildings.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So what was the question again exactly?
So both of you have talked about issues facing our communities. So give me one and how you'd work to solve it.
So one of the biggest issues I think facing Plymouth County, and I learned this in 2015, is the opioid crisis, and that's still a big issue. And that's why my wife and I started the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition in 2015. And then we helped people get in treatment even through COVID, but we, you know, obviously didn't do much during COVID. And since then, we've brought on a whole new board of directors. My wife and I are still on there, and it's now called Abington COPES, for Community Outreach, Prevention, Education, and something. I'm sorry. I didn't come up with that. But they're working very hard now. And one of the big issues is when someone gets out of detox and goes into a halfway house, they have to pay. And most of these people don't have the money. So what we're hoping to do is to raise money to give them scholarships to get them in halfway houses.
Okay. Charles Matthews, some questions for the candidates.
Okay. Alex, are you reading my notes in my notebook here?
No, I can't. I have glasses here. I can't see that far.
You have terrible
Why, am I answering your questions?
No, you're anticipating the next one. You and your wife organized Abington's response to the opioid epidemic, but Carlos calls for a county climate action task force. So I want to ask you, Alex, as a member of the county advisory board, would you support that advisory on climate change?
Yes, absolutely, I would. But just to be perfectly clear, the advisory board doesn't have much power, and I'm a former member. I'm not a member right now. The advisory board basically meets once, maybe twice a year, and that's to approve the budget.
Right.
But yes, I would definitely be in favor of that. But I am not on the advisory board. I was up for reappointment at the last selectman's meeting, and I chose not to be reappointed. We appointed Kevin DiMaggio.
Okay, but you get the idea.
I do, yes.
Climate?
Absolutely, I do, yes.
Okay.
And I believe the county has solar and other things they're working on now, and we need to expand on that.
So, Carlos, on the other side of that, what should the county do to fight the ongoing opioid epidemic?
Again, I mean, it is working with the state legislatures and federal government to ensure that, you know, whatever they're trying to do and address it, that it is addressed. You know, you got to make sure that you provide more resources to our first responders, you know, and resources is the name of the game. But besides resource is that the form of policing has to change. You know, instead of having police officers approach the issues, have the clinicians working in partnership with the police department. So that way you can offer assistance to the individuals. You know, it is too sad that many individuals are actually getting involved with substance, drugs, and so on and so forth. It is provide more room to the individuals. You know, what I was about to finish saying earlier, we have many abandoned buildings. Let's take those buildings for a dollar. Right, because they're abandoned right now. Let's renovate them and provide more housing for those individuals with dealing with substance abuse.
Any follow up?
Follow up. I have loads of follow up. You know. the clock is ticking.
That's absolutely right. You know, in every race in this election, whether it's for governor, attorney general, state rep, state senate, no matter what it is, they're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I want you to tell me, to define what it means to define it and what it means to you, Alex.
Diversity, inclusion. What was the other?
Equity.
Equity. Well, the Democratic Party is all about inclusion, and I think well, diversity. We're getting a lot better. We have a lot of women and people of color on the ballot on the Democratic side this time. We're probably going to have all women on the constitutional positions in November. And I just think that, I mean, the more the merrier, you know. We need to open up to everybody. But that goes both ways, you know. I mean, I'm criticized by people for being friends with Republicans and different things, but the Democrats are supposed to be the party of inclusion, and everyone has their opinion and stuff, and everyone has a right to their opinion. Okay. You know, Christine, that's the first time ever I've gotten the bell.
It's a cute bell, though.
It is. It's
got
is.
A ladybug on it, and a flower, and a little smiling lady.
This is the first that's time okay. for
yeah,
there you
know.
Go. That's okay. Nobody will ever live up to Tony O'Brien because he was the champion of the bell.
Yeah.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. What does it mean to you, Carlos?
You're looking at it.
Okay.
I define diversity, equity, and inclusion as an individual of color. And when I was elected in 2016 in Hingham, I became the first person of color elected to office in Hingham, and the first Brazilian American elected to office in the United States of America. You know, a lot of the times, you know, you're sitting at the table, but you're not really part of the discussions because you are sort of like, you know, there for to be a number. It happened across the board. I ran for this position in 2020. Obviously, everyone knows my qualification as an auditor, as a labor organizer, chief contract negotiator. You know, I have found that there is a lot of those individuals that, for whatever reason, they don't want to see me elected to Plymouth County Commissioners. So inclusion needs to be more of really considered people. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
My time is up.
That's okay. Jonathan, another question for the candidates here.
Sure. So both of you have been elected officials in your communities. So what's one thing you've learned from the experience that you can take towards being a county commissioner?
Okay, let's start with Carlos.
It's essentially listening to the community. If you don't listen to the community, which is happening right now with the commissioners, they have not heard the community, and that is why that is always an issue. You know, as a former member of the Hingham School Committee, that is one thing that we did very, very well, listening to the communities and seeking the input. And as a result, we did very well. Out of the seven members, none of us resigned under pressure. And you all know what we have put up with the last 2 years, serving on the school committees, dealing with parents mad that we couldn't, you know, not bring the kids back to school, and then that we're not removing the masks. Obviously, lack of leadership at the state and federal level led to school committees doing things on our own, and we handled very well. So the secret of that is actually listening to the community. If you don't have buy-in from the community, whether you are trying to build a horse racing track, whether you're trying to do something in your community, if you're not listening to the community, shame on you.
Okay, same question, Alex.
So what have I learned as, I'm sorry, what was the question?
As an elected official in your community.
So when I first got on the Board of Selectmen in 2015, I had all these ideas that I can get in there and do this and do that and everything. Well, actually, the selectmen in a town where you have a strong town manager, it's very difficult to get a lot of things done. We have a great town manager now that includes the Board of Selectmen and everything. There is a learning curve, and that's why I think I'm the most qualified, because I do have the experience in the municipal, in the executive branch of the municipal government, and I have served on the advisory board. So I know how the county government works, I know how the municipal government works, and I think that works to my advantage.
I want to go to the lightning round now. And let's go to, okay, got 5 minutes till I do, thank you. Let's start with Charles Matthews and lightning round questions for the candidates. Remember, these are yes or no, or one or two sentences. Question.
What's your favorite part of Cohasset in the county?
Cohasset's not in the county.
I love Cohasset, but, you know, again, he's not part of this.
You both pass.
Thanks.
Okay, that's your trick. Okay, Jonathan Grabowski, lightning round question for the candidates.
Should the number of commissioners expand, and if so, how many?
Okay, Carlos.
You know, I am
two sentences.
Yes, five.
Alex. Yes, seven.
Okay. It wouldn't be a forum unless I asked this question, but Plymouth County government, stay or go? Alex?
Stay.
Okay.
Stays.
Okay. Jonathan Grabowski.
What's your favorite place in the county that's not in your hometown?
Okay. Alex?
I really love the city of Brockton.
Okay. Carlos?
I love Plymouth Rock. It reminds me that 400 years before, I mean, other immigrants okay. came to Massachusetts.
Lightning. Charles?
What's your favorite news source?
WATD.
Good answer. What's your favorite news source?
I don't have a favorite one.
Okay. Now we're going to go to closing statements. We've got a minute. We're going to reverse the order that we started with. So we're going to start with Alex Bazanson. It's 1 minute, and then go to Carlos De Silva.
It really is WATD. I listen to ADD all day long. But once again, thank you to WATD for hosting this event. I believe the best approach to good government is always engaging all the stakeholders for the benefit of the entire community. I once heard that the way you campaign is the way you will govern. My campaign is based on my accomplishments, my merits, and my willingness to work with all parties. This primary, as all primaries, are extremely important because you're not only voting for a primary candidate, but you're voting to place that person's name on the ballot in November. You want your vote to count not only in September, but also in November. We need to elect a primary candidate that is best suited and best qualified to win over the Republican in November. I'm that candidate. For more information, visit my Facebook page or find me on my website, alexbazanson.org.
Thank you. That was the opening, closing statement for Alex Bazanson. Closing statement for Carlos De Silva.
Once again, thank you for the opportunity. Voters of Plymouth County, if you already have cast a vote for me, I thank you. If you have not, I ask you to please go to my website, carlosdesilva.org, and research me. If you like my bio, if you like what I stand for, I would appreciate your vote on September 6th. I am asking for your vote because I wanted to expand on the work that I have been doing in Hingham, serving on the school committee. Prior to serving on the school committee, professionally, I am a state auditor, where I have been for the last 12 years, and I am a volunteer union steward, and I'm also a volunteer diversity and inclusion training with the Commonwealth. Whenever there is a new employee that needs to go through diversity training, I'm one of those individuals that conduct the training. I am, prior to that, a business agent with SEIU Local 254, where I have negotiated numerous contracts in the private sector. Joining the school committee, I negotiated a contract on the public sector. With that experience, serving also on the Zoning Board of Appeal in Quincy, I am duly qualified to serve as your next commissioner and ask you to hire me.
Thank you very much. That was a closing statement from Carlos De Silva. You've been listening to a WATD political forum. It's the race for county commissioner here in Plymouth County for the primary election. Carlos De Silva, Alex Bazanson. We've had questions tonight from Jonathan Grabowski and our own Charles Matthewson, and of course Marshfield Community Media helping us out here tonight. This whole forum is going to be online on WATD. You'll hear selected cuts of it tomorrow. Stay tuned to WATD on Primary Net. We'll be bringing you the results of these races. Get out and vote. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Thanks for listening.